We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. Thursday, December 8th. Thursday means it's time to talk some football. Only three games on the basketball schedule, so make sure you're paying attention to crunch time and stuff like that for basketball. We're here to talk week 14. Yes, week 14 already. Football season is almost over, which is crazy. I mean, we're definitely going to discuss football here for the next few weeks, but I mean, it's getting close to like the end of football season, which is wild because I feel like it just started. And I feel like that every year when football season gets towards the end. It's just like it's once a week and you wait so long for it to get here and then it's over so fast, it feels like, and then you wait so long again. So and football is just one like DFS sport where you could just be contrarian without needing to do crazy things. So I just everyone loves DFS football, but yeah, I mean, here we are, week 14. Here we are, Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, week 14, you're a veteran to the Morning Grind Football Podcast now. I will say one thing. I really wish I would have built lineups when we were doing the podcast last week and never touched them. because would have absolutely smashed everything had I done that. But I didn't, but I think I made like $13, and looking at my exposures, I'm super happy with that.
Yeah, that's a better week than I had. I paid to play last week. And it's crazy you say that, cause I was just looking at the Morning Grind from last week. The only question I missed on the Morning Grind game was tight end. I got the quarterback for 300 yards, the lone running back touchdown, quarterback wide receiver stack smashed, wide receiver for 8 targets. And the DST, I had Cleveland, and then just randomly did not play them in DFS, and you like had to have them to take down a tournament. So
yeah,
agree. I wish I would have just built the teams after the podcast and not done a thing the rest of the week.
Well, I highlighted McLaurin, and I mean I played a little bit, but not enough. So yeah, I mean that it happens, right? You know, yeah. Early week thoughts sometimes are fantastic. You know, football. And baseball, I mean, you really can kind of build stuff and adjust a little bit, but you don't have to go crazy. There's just so much that happened by the time like we finished recording and like football Sunday came around. So I mean that's just going to be the case. So, but I'm excited for this week. I mean, there's a few duds on this slate, but man, we have a few really good football games. So the 1 o'clock games are fantastic. The 4 o'clock games, I am not excited about doing the afternoon expert survey this week because those games are trash. And that's just being nice. So, yeah, I mean, a lot to talk about with these 1 o'clock games. But before we get into that, if you haven't checked out Sleeper Fantasy, check them out. Use promo code GRINDERS, get a 100% deposit bonus up to $100 get instantly put in the RotoGrinders squad chat. Posted yesterday the morning grind game in the squad chat, and I hope you missed it. I hope you didn't see it. Just kidding. It didn't work out. You know, it happens sometimes where they just don't work out. Westbrook missed by like a half a point or 1.5 points. Markkanen didn't play. I think it's going to go 3 for 4, which I think is like 1.4, 1.25 or something. So like, it's not a total bust because Markkanen didn't play, but I mean, Westbrook, one more basket. If he plays anything in the fourth quarter, one more basket from him and we would have been off to the races. But I mean, hey, you know, it happens. So check out Sleeper, get in the Roto Grinders squad chat, Roto Grinders squad chat for sure. So Keith, football week 14, 10 games, nice little juicy 10 game slate here. We get started with Minnesota at Detroit, 52.5 total here. Detroit, a 2.5 point favorite. We'll start with Minnesota. And I mean, it's kind of rare that we start with one of the best, if not the best spots on the slate. Like Detroit in Detroit, Detroit a favorite in this game. Like Detroit's been playing fantastic. Like this game is juicy. Talk to me here about Minnesota.
Yeah, juicy is a good word to describe this one. We've been attacking Detroit all year long on defense. They've been playing a little bit better here recently. But this Minnesota offense packs a punch. This is going to be a fantastic game. And just from an overall slate perspective, usually we have like at least two late games where you're like, if you're winning money going into those games and you don't have any exposure, like it might not end up a great day for you. Where this slate is kind of the opposite. Like, I don't know if you have much to worry about. So get these first games right. Maybe one or two contrarian pieces at the end of the night to cap it off. But yeah, this game right here is where you need some exposure for sure. I said Detroit's been playing a little bit better on defense, but still a very attackable defense. Minnesota has amazing pieces like Justin Jefferson, who is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Adam Thielen's price is really cheap. I know he's washed up, he's old, he hasn't done a ton this year, but 4,900 for Adam Thielen in this matchup, I'm okay with that. Dalvin Cook, 7,300, a hefty price tag for him, but he's game script proof. If Detroit does come out and continue to move the ball really well on offense, it's not like Cook is getting scripted out here. So yeah, Hockenson has had a great role since coming over as well. Fair price tag on him at 5,100. I think you're definitely going to want some exposure here to this game in multiple different ways.
Yeah, I think like the best thing about like Minnesota is it's four guys. It's Cousins, it's Cook, it's Jefferson, it's Hockenson. Like Thielen can have good games. They haven't been as like often since Hockenson has come over. Hockenson's targets have just absolutely crushed the target share of Thielen here since he's come over. And I mean, Hockenson going back to Detroit, Cousins, let's get him the football. I mean, he's going to get him the football and whether like revenge, whatever, like Hockenson said, thank you. I mean, at the end of the day, so Jefferson, Hockenson with Cousins, Dalvin Cook, this is almost one of those games and like one of these slates with this game indoors with some of the bad weather that we have potentially that I'm playing Cousins, Cook, and one of the pass catchers. And I'm okay with playing Cook and Cousins together. So, and I don't even hate like if for some reason you want to go Jared Goff on the other side of this game, because I mean, Minnesota pass defense is atrocious. Like you could potentially go like Cook, Jefferson or Hockenson, and then run it back with like Goff and St. Brown on the other side of this game and just kind of hope for a really high scoring game. So, I mean, Minnesota for me is Cousins, Cook, Jefferson, Hockenson. I don't think I'm going to play enough lineups to get a lot of Thielen exposure. If you're running 150, get some Thielen exposure. Going to the Detroit side of this game, I mean, the running back situation's a mess now. It's officially a mess. I think DeAndre Swift is healthy. I think he is the lead back. I am me, and I am not the coach of the Detroit Lions. it's a situation that is really tough. And luckily, like, Minnesota is kind of a funnel defense. They allow the most passing yards per game. Their rushing defense is like middle of the pack. So I think Jared Goff and St. Brown, and then, you know, taking some shots on like a Josh Reynolds or a DJ Chark. But I mean, we're going to be looking at some of the highest ownership we've ever seen on St. Brown again this week. He was really popular last week, and it's hard not to have interest in him in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, he's the top wide receiver on the slate for me. You mentioned how bad the Minnesota pass defense has been, and there are a few wide receivers in the NFL that have a better role than St. Brown. He's seen a floor of like 8 targets a week. Goff has been playing surprisingly well. St. Brown has a massive target share. He should be priced up in the high 8Ks, I think, for this matchup. Like, it's a great spot against this Minnesota defense. The running backs, it's tough. I agree. Swift is definitely becoming more involved, getting healthier every single week. But that said, Jamal Williams still has a goal line role. Like, even if Swift is 100% healthy and has 60% of the carries in the backfield, Jamal Williams is still going to have a goal line role. So that makes it difficult to play the running backs in this spot. I probably just target the pass catchers more, and specifically Amon-Ra St. Brown. We saw DJ Chark pop off for a pretty decent game last week. The last 2 weeks, he's actually been okay. 5 targets and caught a touchdown 2 weeks ago. Last week, had 6 targets and caught 5 of them. He's still cheap at 4,300, so I don't mind DJ Chark. I'm going to play a little bit of Jared Goff. He's been playing surprisingly well this season. Detroit's not afraid to throw the ball. I know they're favored in this game, but Minnesota has a better record. It's surprising that they're favored. I get it. They're at home, and they've been playing really well the last couple of weeks. So I get it. But I don't think it's a lock that Detroit is playing from ahead in this game. So I'll have some exposure to Goff just as a way to differentiate my St. Brown a little bit. Mix in some Shark. I don't know where to go with pass. Like, the tight end situation is rough. I think you can play Brock Wright for his price if you wanted to. Probably need a touchdown, but he's 2,900. I don't know what's going on with Josh Reynolds. He's been injured and banged up the last couple of weeks. If he were to step into a bigger role, he's cheap as well. I want all kinds of exposure to this game environment, but it's primarily going to be St. Brown, and then I'm mixing in the rest of this Detroit side.
Yeah, St. Brown and Chark. I think I prefer Chark over Reynolds and over Raymond right now. Like, the snap share and like target share has been in the right direction for Chark compared to the other two. So, I mean, with Reynolds back, I don't think Raymond is even an option. You know, he only ran 8 routes last week, and that was a pretty high scoring game. So I think for me on Detroit, St. Brown, clearly the best option. And then I'll mix in some Chark. I might play Jared Goff in my main lineup. And I don't think it's that crazy. You worry about like 2 or 3 rushing touchdowns. And if that happens, I'm probably going to have a bad weekend anyway. It's just Jared Goff's 5,600 against the worst pass defense in the NFL. And he's throwing the ball 30 plus times a game in close games. So yeah, I have a ton of interest in Jared Goff. I'm super happy with like 25 points from him at 5,600 in my main lineup, because really St. Brown and Jefferson combo could score 4 touchdowns at wide receiver in this game. So juicy game. Good game. Really good game.
Need to mention Jameson Williams too. He only played 11% of the snaps last week, but he did see the field. So, I mean,
yeah, he only ran 2 routes, though.
What's that?
He only ran 2 routes.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely just to get him out there and get him on the field. But if he steps into, like, I don't know, even like 30% of the snaps and runs a route on all of those, it could be interesting. Just keep an eye on the Lions beat reporters and things like that. If they say that Jameson Williams is going to have a role, I would be super interested in that. Very, very talented young prospect.
I think he'd take away from Reynolds more than Chark. I don't know. I feel like they really like what Chark's been doing. I don't know. It's so tough to say, but I still think I would prefer Chark as my second option in the pass game. I don't think I go to Brock Wright. Like you said, he would need a touchdown, so maybe if I'm playing him, it'd be on FanDuel more than on DraftKings. All right, we move on. We got the Jets and the Bills. This game is... I totally did not write the total down for this game. 43.5. Buffalo, 9.5-point favorites. I mean, a little bit weaker on defense with some of the recent injuries. Any interest here in the Jets in one game that could potentially have some bad weather?
It's tough. I know Buffalo's dealing with some injuries. Still a really strong defense, though. I think you have to have interest in Garrett Wilson, though, just because of his target share. He's still only 5,900. The price is starting to adjust, but dudes went for over 25 DraftKings points the last 2 weeks. That's still not high enough if he's going to continue to put up games like that. Like expect the Jets to be trailing in this game. Wilson should continue to have a massive target share. He's still absolutely in play. You can try to mess around with the cheaper wide receivers if you think this game script is really pass heavy for the Jets, which I kind of lean that it will be. Elijah Moore at 3,500 and Corey Davis at 4,200, both in the conversation. Don't love it with the tough matchup, but I do think the Jets lean pretty pass heavy here. The running backs, I'm probably not touching with just a shared backfield there. We saw James Robinson active last week. He wasn't that involved, but just his presence there with, in addition to Knight and Carter, it's kind of a three-headed backfield. They're all priced right around 5K. Buffalo has a great run defense, so I don't know. I think I'd lean Carter if I was picking one just because of his pass-catching role, but probably staying away from the Jets running game.
Yeah, Carter should be back for this one. I'm no interest whatsoever in the running backs. I'll play a little bit of Wilson, not as much as we have the last couple weeks. I think this is a much tougher matchup. Like Minnesota, again, going back to that conversation about being the worst pass defense in the NFL. I mean, we just saw Mike White throw for 369 yards against Minnesota, going back to that first conversation about Jared Goff. So, I mean, we'll have to see if this Corey Davis thing is it's an illness. He should play. I mean, I'm not too concerned. He has been running a ton of routes. So has Elijah Moore. Coughlin, I think, is a potential cheaper tight end play that at 3,100, if he scored a touchdown, he'd be in a good position. So I think it's the pass catchers. I don't think I'm playing Mike White this week. I'm probably not playing a ton of the Jets. I mean, Buffalo is really good. This is a divisional game. I don't expect it to be a fast-paced, really high-scoring game. I think we see a lower-scoring game here, especially if the weather's not great. So going to the Buffalo side, I mean, obviously we have Allen, Hurts, and Mahomes all over 8K as far as quarterbacks go. What do you like here for Buffalo?
So the Jets also have a really good defense, but the Buffalo offense is elite. So you can still take some shots here. Keep an eye on the weather, obviously. Allen and Diggs is a very expensive stack, but also a stack with massive ceiling. I think I probably try to save some money if I'm doing that. And Isaiah McKenzie would be the guy I'm looking at. 4,200. He's had a pretty decent roll out of the slot the last couple weeks here. So I like McKenzie in this matchup. Like Gabe Davis, especially if there's any wind in this game, is tough. He's a guy that gets targeted down the field a little bit more often. Doesn't have a huge target share, but he is live for the big play at any time. But I think I prefer McKenzie, saving the money there. And Dawson Knox is a guy I like, is a cheaper tight end, 3,800. Definitely has some touchdown equity in this spot. I want some exposure to Josh Allen. I don't know that he's a massive priority for me on the slate. Just tough matchup, outdoor game, cold game. So that leads me to Devin Singletary a little bit. He has had a better role since the trade that they traded away Zach Moss. He's kind of been the guy all season long. 5,700. I think you could do worse than that. Not going to be a huge overweight stance for me, but I will have some Singletary.
Saw James Cook really involved last game against New England. I don't know how much I really believe in that, but I mean, that game was a close game for most of the game, and He was very involved in the passing game. Like, he had 6 catches in that game. So I'm not pumping the brakes on Singletary yet. Like, if it happens again this week, I mean, next week when we're on the podcast, I'll definitely be pumping the brakes a little bit more on Singletary. But yeah, I mean, Allen is in play on any given slate. Diggs, he's a fantastic play, but at 8,300, like, I don't know if he has that ceiling in this matchup. There's been plenty of times this year where he's gone absolutely bonkers, but he's on my list. Like, this combo's on my list, but, like, this is also one of those combos I might be like, I'm going to be underweight on this combo, and I really just hope that they don't throw, like, 2 or 3 touchdowns to him and Allen doesn't run in a couple touchdowns. Like, Allen hasn't been running as much lately ever since that, like, shoulder thing happened. So I don't know. I think for me, like, the Buffalo side of this game, I'm just kind of like, don't go bonkers and burn me. Like, give me a little bit of weather in this game and don't go bonkers and burn me, is my initial thoughts here on Buffalo. Because, I mean, Buffalo is always going to get ownership too. So maybe this is where I can gain a little bit of ownership on the field. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think I'd rank Allen definitely behind Hurts this week. And then Mahomes is a kind of a coin flip, because I just don't know if Denver is going to be able to keep that game close enough for Mahomes to have a ceiling. But as of right now, I think I rank Mahomes over Allen for these 3, like, expensive quarterbacks. Baltimore at Pittsburgh, 36.5 total in this game. Pittsburgh, a 2.5-point favorites. We'll go to the Baltimore side of this game first. I mean, the biggest thing that we're going to be watching here, well, weather one, Lamar Jackson, the knee. I mean, they haven't officially ruled him out yet, but it doesn't sound very promising for Lamar to play in this game. We see Huntley getting first team reps. What are our thoughts here with Baltimore, with this Lamar Jackson news going up against this tough Pittsburgh defense?
Yeah, not looking good for Lamar. I think Vegas is telling us that he's trending towards doubtful with this spread here in Pittsburgh being favored. Even on the road, if Lamar were playing, I feel like Baltimore would have the edge here. So with the backup quarterback in there, like, Huntley can run, don't get me wrong, but 5,500, like, he's in the same price range as Jared Goff. We just talked about how much we love him. I don't think you need to go to Huntley this week. Tough matchup here against Pittsburgh. So I don't know. This is a really difficult game environment without weather. If there's weather also, I probably just stay away entirely. Like, Mark Andrews is priced up. I think, like, taking a shot on Likely at 2,700 is okay, just as a punt tight end. I'm probably not touching any wide receivers here. Like, Robinson's been the guy with the target share recently, but if with a change at quarterback, I don't know that I trust that. And then the running backs, the backfield's pretty split as well. We saw Gus Edwards make his return and have a role. So you've got Drake there as well. Justice Hill mixes in a little bit. It's just the whole team is kind of a mess, especially if Lamar is out. I'm more than likely just avoiding this game.
I mean, I definitely like the idea of fading this game. I mean, both of these pass defenses are kind of iffy this season. They've gotten a little bit better with some, you know, guys coming back. I mean, Huntley is someone that I feel like you could potentially look at, like, his rushing prop and get exposure to him that way instead of, like, playing him. Like, he threw the ball 32 times last week. And the average, I think, was 6 yards a catch, like 6 yards a pass or whatever. It was really low. I mean, he completed 84% of his passes, but a lot of it was just dump off stuff. So yep. I think, like, I don't really want exposure to anyone in this game on the Baltimore side. You know, even like the running back situation is just so kind of crowded. If I'm going to play anybody, it'd be like Duvernay at like 4,400 and just hope that he broke like a long catch, like after yard catch or whatever, yards after catch type of touchdown. Because, I mean, they're going to be short targets. Andrews, I don't think I want to pay his price tag with Huntley at quarterback. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, Baltimore is just a team where I don't think I end up on them a lot here. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson is 4K. He's going to get a lot of short targets as well. I just taking a shot on one of those guys if I'm looking at anything. But really, I'm looking at the defenses in this game. On the Pittsburgh side, I mean, I don't even have a ton of interest in the Pittsburgh side of this game either. Like, it's just not, I mean, Deontay Johnson and Faramuth, maybe, but I mean, talk me into something, because I mean, this is just a game in general where I'm like, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you in let's just move on to the next one. The running back situation with Najee Harris banged up. Jalen Warren has missed a couple of games. Like, Najee's role has been improving here recently. It's a tough matchup, and if he's banged up, I'm not going to play him this week in a slower game. If he misses, like, it's hard to trust Warren or Snell if they're both active. We have no idea how that the division of workload is going to break up there. So, really tough running back situation. They're cheap, but it's a tough matchup and just uncertainty and how the work's going to be divided up. I think Freiermuth is my favorite play on the Pittsburgh side. 4,500 has seen a decent target share here recently. I don't think I can do the receivers. I prefer Pickens to Johnson, but neither of them are comfortable. Like, Pickett has struggled a little bit too much. Baltimore's defense has looked better as the season has progressed. Not a big fan of either one of them at 5K. So Freiermuth, I think, would be the real only exposure I have to Pittsburgh.
If this injury for Deontay Johnson becomes more of a thing, okay, I'm in. Like, all right, I'll take some shots on Pickens. But if Deontay plays, I'm out. I'm just out. I mean, I'm really just not going to overthink this game. I'm just probably going to be underweight, maybe even just fade this entire game. Like, before we even went live, I always kind of write some stuff down. I didn't have anyone listed from this game. So, I mean, that's just where I'm at. Could it burn me? Sure. 36.5 total. Burn me. I'll move on to the next week. I got a few more weeks after this, so. Cleveland at Cincinnati, 47.5 total in this game. Cincinnati, a 6.5-point favorite. Going to the Cleveland side first. I don't know what we really saw from Watson last week. I don't know what to, think of it yet. Like, I haven't processed it all yet. I mean, it doesn't shock me to say, like, what was it? He missed almost two full seasons, right? It was really close to almost two whole years. So doesn't it shock me that it took him a little bit to get going? I mean, the Cleveland defense did what we expected them to do. Peoples Jones had a kickoff return or a punt return for a touchdown to even help the defense a little bit more. Like, Nick Chubb was guy that, like, I was way overweight on, and like, he just struggled to get anything going against like the worst run defense last week. So, I mean, I think Cincinnati is going to put up points, and I think Deshaun Watson is going to have to throw the ball more than 22 times this week. Cooper seemed to be his guy. I want to see if Njoku is going to play or not this week, because I do think there's a role for him. But, I mean, Watson-Cooper combos definitely in play this week. What are your thoughts on Cleveland?
Yeah, I have some interest here. Cincinnati's been a strong defense all season long, but this is not the same Cleveland team that we're used to with Brissett under center for the majority of this year. And then, like, Baker Mayfield struggling a ton last season. Cleveland just went super run heavy. Even in games they were trailing, they really never got away from the run. They have a different dynamic now with Watson at quarterback. So I have some interest in this game environment here. I'll play some Watson Cooper stacks. I agree. He looked to be the preferred target. He saw 9 last week. And Njoku is only 3,900. He had a great role. Obviously, that was before Watson saw the field. But I think he could step right back into that role. And Cincinnati has been more attackable via the tight end position than the wide receivers. Like, they've been strong against wide receivers all season long, but Cooper can win in any matchup. Watson has plenty of talent. I definitely want some exposure to the Cincinnati side as well. So I love Cooper as a run back. Could use Njoku as well, but I will have some Watson stacks also.
Yeah, Cooper went bonkers the first time these two teams played. Woozy got hurt in that game, and Apple was already out. So, I mean, it was a much different scenario than what we should see. Like, Taylor Britt and Apple have been fantastic on the outside. So, I mean, it is a tough matchup for Cooper and Peoples-Jones. But, I mean, you have to think that they're going to have to throw the ball in this game. I mean, if you want to take some shots on Nick Chubb, I don't hate it. Probably, again, more on FanDuel. I mean, this might be a spot where, like, Kareem Hunt becomes playable, getting 4 to 6 targets out of the backfield, but he hasn't had more than 4 targets out of the backfield yet this season. He hasn't had, like, a good game since week one. So, I mean, that's tough to even tough to take shots on. So, I mean, Cleveland's a tough team. I like Cooper. I don't mind Peoples-Jones. And I want to see, like I said, if Njoku is going to be back this week, because I do think that he would be interesting play. The Cincinnati side of this one, obviously we're waiting to know Joe Mixon. He practiced full Wednesday. It was a concussion, should pass concussion protocol this week if he's practicing in full on a Wednesday. So he should be back. And I mean, Cleveland has been a team that has kind of just struggled against the run. They're getting some guys back defensively, but I mean, they're 31st in DVOA against the run. I expect Burrow to have a good game. We saw Ja'Marr Chase come back last week. 8 targets, had a solid game. Really kind of hurt T. Higgins. Played 81% of the snaps. We were, you know, definitely concerned about what it would look like. The other thing to kind of note here is Hayden Hurst is doubtful. What are your thoughts here on the Bengals?
Everything revolves around Joe Mixon for me. If Mixon clears concussion protocol and is back this week, he is one of the best running back plays on the slate. He's underpriced. It's a pretty decent matchup here against Cleveland. They are a little bit better against the run since they've gotten healthier, but still like bottom half of the league as far as run defenses go. Mixon is a guy we have seen absolutely annihilate slates before in the past. He has that 3 touchdown upside, can do it out of the backfield as a receiver as well. So at 6,900, he's underpriced for this matchup. If he's out, you just go right back to P. Ryan. He's played awesome in Mixon's absence. So I'm interested in Mixon if he's in there. I'm interested in P. Ryan if Mixon is out. I also will be stacking in Burrow just because of the talent of these wide receivers here. Probably prefer Chase with him back and having a week under his belt, proving that he's healthy. Higgins' price at 7K is just too close to Chase's upside, and Chase just has more upside, in my opinion. So give me some Burrow and Chase. I don't want to touch the tight end situation without Hurst there. Like, I don't see any talented pass catchers there or anything. Like, Wilcox is more of a blocker. Asiasi has never carved out a role in a couple of seasons in the league, so no interest in the tight end position. But give me some Burrow stacks, Chase and Higgins. Be tough to fit them both. I don't mind going down to a Boyd if I'm trying to double stack, but I might just play him with Mixon as well, because Mixon has some pass catching ability. So, and if P. Ryan is in there, same for him. So Burrow running back and Chase or Higgins, I think, is my preferred stack here, but definitely want plenty of exposure to Cincinnati.
I mean, the good thing about like Boyd here is they're probably going to end up running a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. So, I mean, it could easily be Boyd scoring a touchdown. I'm with you. I think Higgins' price makes me just lean towards Chase. The flip side of that is everyone's going to think that way. So maybe you take some shots on Higgins in tournaments. But, I mean, Burrow is definitely someone I don't mind taking some shots on in this game. Cleveland handled this team in Cleveland earlier this year. So, I mean, I expect Cincinnati, who's, you know, kind of rolling here, winning 4 straight since that Cleveland game, to get back on track or stay on track here against this Cleveland team and put up some points. Jacksonville at Tennessee. This is an interesting game. 41.5 total. Tennessee, a 3.5-point favorites. We experimented with, you know, talking and playing Trevor Lawrence last week, and it went about as good as you expected it to go. He sprained his toe or something, threw for 179 yards, had his worst game in weeks. Gets a Tennessee pass defense that is pretty atrocious, I think it's the best way to put it. I mean, they allow the second most passing yards per game. They rank bottom 10 in DVOA. I don't know what to do with Jacksonville. Like, I mean, I think you just take some shots on Kirk and Jones, maybe Ingram, and hope that Jacksonville scores some points here in Tennessee. But I mean, I don't think this is a spot I want to play ETN. The Tennessee run defense has been one of the best, if not the best run defense in the NFL this season.
Yeah, agree with you on ETN. The role has been nice since Robinson left town, but it's just a really tough matchup, and he has not been as involved in the passing game. Like, he has no more than 5 targets in any game, and that was even with Robinson there. Like, that was a big thing. Like, ETN taking over the backfield, he was a capable pass catcher in college. We thought he was going to get involved more. Haven't seen that. So agree. I'm looking to the passing game here. It's just kind of the way the matchup sets up anyway. I don't know if I need to play Lawrence. I definitely prefer Goff. Lawrence had a really nasty looking injury right before, not an injury, but just he went down and stayed on the field for a little bit right before the half. I guess it was just his toe that got caught in the turf, but it looked pretty serious when it happened. Ended up coming back and playing the rest of that game. So I think Lawrence plays here. I'm more interested in Christian Kirk, though, than anyone. He's just had a really solid target share all season long. Another 8 targets last week. Didn't quite have the game I was expecting. Like, phenomenal matchup against Detroit last week, obviously. Expected a little bit more. He was still fine, just didn't quite get there because he didn't find the end zone. Zay Jones disappointed a little bit. Still saw 7 targets, just didn't convert many of them. I'd go right back to that. 4,700, I think, is a fair price. And like, Jacksonville's way to move the ball in this game, I think, is through the air. So also the Ingram call I like as well. We've seen him pop up for big target games. In games that they're trailing, I think this could be one of those spots. So I like the Ingram call a lot.
I think they're going to be trailing in this game. They just really couldn't get anything going against Detroit last week, which is something not a lot of teams have been able to say this year. Going to the Titans side of this game. I mean, first of all, we need to see, like, if Tannehill's going to play or not. Like, how serious is this ankle injury? Because if, like, Willis is going to play quarterback this week, I'm probably just fading everything and anything in this game. Burke's got concussion last week, right? Yep. So we'll have to see, like, if he's going to play. Like, there's so many question marks when it comes to Tennessee this week that it is really hard to talk about them, even though, like, they're in a pretty decent spot at home against Jacksonville, especially against this pass defense. I mean, they're the second worst pass defense in DVOA. They allow a ton of passing yards per game. Like, what are we doing here with Tennessee? Talk to me, like, if Tannehill plays and if Tannehill sits. I mean, just kind of run over both scenarios here.
If Tannehill is in, I have some interest in the passing game. I have interest in Derrick Henry either way. Like, he's just been getting a phenomenal workload. I know it fell off a little bit against Philly, but they were down big in that game. I don't expect them to be trailing, and if they are, it's not going to be by 2 scores where Henry just gets game scripted out. So Derrick Henry is my favorite play on Tennessee here, with or without Tannehill. If Tannehill sits, we saw when Willis started earlier in the season, they were handing the ball off to Henry like 30 times a game. So if Tannehill's out, I think Derrick Henry is the best running back play on the slate. I have no interest in the passing game if Tannehill sits. It would just solely be Henry for me. If Tannehill is in there and Burks is in there, that would be my favorite way, is just play some trail on Burks. Robert Woods just hasn't quite done enough for me this season. Like, they don't have enough pass volume for me to want to take shots on Robert Woods. But I do like Treylon Burks if he plays. And then tight end is interesting. We've seen Chig Okonkwo kind of start to take over. He's been on the field more, and he's earned 5 targets each of the last 2 weeks. He's a talented, young, athletic tight end. I don't mind him as a punt. Like, I think Kelsey's the only option to pay up for this week, maybe some Hockenson. But like that, the mid range of tight end is usually pretty gross. So going all the way down to 2,700 for some Okonkwo, I'm okay with.
Yeah, I don't hate that call. I like it even more if Burks plays, and I like it even more if Tannehill plays. I'm not going to have a ton of exposure to anybody if Tannehill sits. I mean, definitely we'll have some exposure to Henry in that scenario. But, I mean, if Tannehill doesn't play, the game in general becomes one that, like, it definitely moves down on my list. You know, that's kind of what I was saying when I was saying at the beginning. It's an interesting game. I just struggle overall with this game if Tannehill doesn't play, which things you never thought you'd say 3 years ago. Houston at Dallas, taking on the Cowboys, 45.5 total. Dallas, 16.5 point favorite in this game. The Dallas Cowboys look fantastic, but let's talk about Houston first. It sounds like Davis Mills is going to be playing quarterback this week. The Kyle Allen experiment over after 2 games and throwing the ball 39 times a game. Listen, Houston has no problem chucking. With that said, like, Brandon Cooks is dealing with a calf injury. If he is anywhat like hurt, he probably doesn't play in this game. He has nothing to play for. They have nothing to play for. And Nico Collins is banged up. We like legitly maybe playing Chris Moore, Philip Dorsett, and Amari Rodgers this week, with Chris Moore being my favorite. But don't forget about Jordan Akins at 2,800. I think you have to have some interest in the Houston pass game, just because, I mean, they're going to be trailing this whole game. Dallas is a fantastic team. They're a fantastic defense. It's not going to be pretty.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But I think you have to have some interest in the pass game here.
Yeah, just sheer volume. You said it at the top. Houston is not afraid to chuck it when they're playing from behind. Damian Pierce has been tough. I like the player, just not in this offense. I don't see any scenario
of like matchups.
Yeah, he has, and this is Dallas's run defense hasn't been elite by any means. But I just don't see the game script going in his favor. So Damian Pierce is a tough play. If Nico Collins plays, I have interest in him. He keeps getting targeted. He didn't convert a ton of them last week. He did catch a touchdown. So at 4,400 with the volume that's coming his way, I definitely like Nico Collins. If him and Cooks are both out, it gets ugly. I agree. Chris Moore is the play in that scenario. Dorsett is fine, but like just a first round pick that never really figured anything out, like hasn't had success anywhere he's been. It's like filled with the Colts, the Patriots gave him a shot. He just couldn't do anything there. So I don't know. Dorsett, he's minimum price. You could take some shots there, but I do prefer Chris Moore. And then I love the Akins call. Saw him pop up with a big target share. Jordan was out last week, I believe. But even if Jordan is back, Akins has – no, Jordan played last week, actually. So
yeah, they disregard both had that. Decent, yeah, what, 5 and 6 targets or something?
Yeah, it was the week before that Jordan missed. But Akins seems clearly to be the number one tight end here. So I like that call a lot. Just with the pass volume, Houston trailing by a bunch, we're going to see 35-ish dropbacks again. So Akins and Collins would be my two favorite plays here. If Collins misses, and a little Chris Moore and a sprinkle of Dorsett.
Dallas defense, definitely in play. We just talked about them dropping back 30 plus times. this defense, they're all ball hawks, man. They want the football. This is a good defense. Like, my initial thoughts is Dak is not in play because I don't think that the ceiling is high enough. I mean, this could be a game he throws under 200 yards and potentially gets 2 touchdowns and doesn't need to do anything else. Like, the like crummiest 22 fantasy points you'll get out of Dak all year. I mean, I think getting the running back situation right, I mean, gosh, it's so hard because, like, Elliott just continues to score touchdowns and Pollard continues just to shred defenses. Keith, I think, like, I think Pollard's the ceiling guy still. And I think, like, Elliott is just kind of a safe potential touchdown. I don't think I play Gallup, maybe CeeDee Lamb, maybe Schultz, but maybe I'm overthinking this too and just, you know, ruling out too much of a good offense against a bad defense because I don't think the game's going to stay close. But it's 16 and a half totals. We don't get those very often.
Yeah, no, I think you broke it down well. It's the running backs that we're interested in here. Yeah, Dak could throw 2 early touchdowns to CeeDee Lamb, and then maybe you want Lamb, but I agree. Like, they would take their foot off the gas in that scenario, and then Dak probably doesn't end up getting there. So I don't think I'll be using Dak. Maybe CeeDee Lamb, just because he could score 2 early touchdowns and get there. Schultz I have interest in. I don't like the price. But again, if he scores, he could be useful. And this is definitely not a defense where we're scared of slowing anybody down. It's just whether they get the full four quarters of volume here is the really the only concern. So I think I prefer Schultz to CD just for the savings. I'm not going any deeper on the receivers. Those are going to be the only 2 pass catchers I play. I think you play both Zeke and Pollard. I wouldn't play them on a lineup together. But, like, we just – whoever gets the touchdowns is really going to be the guy we're interested in here. Zeke is not a guy that people like to play. He's cheaper, but I think he's still going to be lower owned despite being cheaper. I don't disagree with you that Pollard has far more ceiling because he has more big playability, but Zeke has every bit as much touchdown equity. I could absolutely see Zeke scoring 2 touchdowns in this spot. So I will take some shots there at 6,100.
On FanDuel specifically, Pollard clearly the better play. Zeke is 8K on FanDuel. Pollard's 7,500. Zeke hasn't scored over 20 fantasy points this season, and he is $500 more than Pollard, who has, was it 4 or 5 games over 20? So easy decision there, where on DraftKings, where Elliott is actually cheaper than Pollard, I'll get exposure to both. But really, like, Elliott, even in 2 touchdown games, really just hasn't done much. I mean, he's had 2 touchdown games and still yet, like I said, to score over 20 fantasy points. I mean, Pollard's the better back.
I don't disagree with that hot take at all. Nope, not at all.
I don't think that's a hot take. So definitely like the Dallas defense with Pollard or Elliott. In large field tournaments, I'll take some shots on CeeDee Lamb because he is someone that can score 2 touchdowns and his ceiling is still high in this type of game. So he's on the list. I don't hate Schultz, but I mean, we're not struggling for tight ends this week. I got 6 tight ends written down already. and we still have plenty of games to go. So interesting game. We move on though to, again, one of the better games on slate. Philadelphia at New York facing the New York Football Giants. 45.5 total in this one. Philly, a 6.5-point favorite. We will go to the Philadelphia side first. Kind of already mentioned it. Right now, as of right now, I have Jalen Hurts as my number one guy if I'm paying up. And I don't think that's necessarily a hot take. His rushing ability in a game that should be super competitive when we're looking at just overall ceiling. I mean, Mahomes always has it. But is he going to need it against Denver? Maybe. What are your thoughts here when it comes to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, Philly, like, Hurts has a massive ceiling because of his rushing upside. We saw him, what he can do in the passing game last week. Shout out to A.J. Brown. That was one of my favorite plays of the week last week. He is definitely vengeful. Much appreciated. Unfortunately, didn't help me enough. But, yeah, 10 targets, 2 touchdowns last week. I'll go right back to him a little bit. Price is up there. Not as good of a matchup. But, like, A.J. Brown is the clear number one here. Devonta Smith is in the conversation, but it's Brown ahead of Smith for me. I don't mind Smith in this spot either, though. Like, can the Giants keep the game close is kind of my feeling on how much of this I want to play. Giants being at home, having Barkley, Daniel Jones with some rushing ability, I think they can hang around at least long enough to make sure that Hurts continues to throw. So I agree. I think it Hurts ahead of Mahomes for me, just because Hurts runs more. And I know we haven't seen as much rushing from him recently, but he still has that in him. Like when that's the way that he needs to move the ball on the offense, like he's not afraid to take off and do it. So I think it's Hurts over Mahomes. I like Hurts to A.J. Brown and Hurts to Devonta Smith are the way I'm playing this. We haven't seen any production from the tight ends since Goddard went out, so not messing with that. And not a ton of interest in the running backs for me either. It's really just A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith.
Sorry, super distracted there for a second. Like, I still don't know what happened in the Warriors game. Yeah, I mean, they had the ball on an inbound pass with a lead of a point. With 6.9 seconds to go and they lost somehow. I was pulling it up really quick. Like, yeah. So I guess someone had a steal or something, but anyway, Hurts, Brown, Smith would be my three favorite plays here. Like I said, I'm with you. Hurts hasn't. Gosh, this dude his ceiling is just absolutely massive. It's so high that. Yeah. The good thing is running it back here on the Giants side has, I don't want to jinx it at all, but it's kind of been a little bit easier recently. You know, the targets have been going to Slayton a lot, and, I mean, Hodgins is getting targets as well, but, I mean, if James Jr. doesn't play, I have a lot more interest in Hodgins at 50 or 3,500, but I mean, Slayton at 51 for a guy that's like consistently getting 6+ targets a game, they're just really slow on like adjusting his price.
Yes. I mean, Slayton has been the clear number one wide receiver for several weeks now. I don't know. Like, they still don't pass a ton. So, like, 5,100 feels appropriate. I don't know. I guess they have been throwing a fair amount here.
I was going to say, like, think of this game, though. I mean,
I agree. Just a tough matchup. Like, Philly's defense has been so good is my only hesitation there. But I agree. Like, Slayton is the receiver I want to target. If James is in, I'm not playing Hodgins. I don't mind him if he's out. So I do like that call. Really it's Barkley though for me. Like, you run this back with Barkley. I know it's expensive, especially if you're doing Hurts, J. Brown, Barkley. Like, it's a tough stack to fit, but I really think if this game stays close, it's because of Barkley. He has that pass catching ability as well. So even if it gets away from the Giants a little bit, Barkley's still in play. Don't hate the Slayton call though. And I like Hodgins if James is out.
It's expensive, but like if you're running a AJ Brown Hurts combo, I mean, Barkley would probably be my favorite run back option. It's really expensive to do that. We have some value on the slate that we've already talked about, with some potential more value depending on some injuries. But yeah, I mean, Slayton, Galladay didn't play last week either. So I don't know how much that really affects Hodgins as well, because Kenny Galladay is, I mean, this dude was supposed to be like,
Hodgins is better than Galladay. I don't think it affects him.
Yeah, just what happened to Kenny Galladay?
Oh,
like,
man,
I know
I don't
a lot of injuries, but this dude was supposed to be like legit. Like, he was compared, he was like Babytron in Detroit when he first like came onto the scene. And like, maybe it's just injuries and he has not been healthy. And but yeah, he really hasn't done much since like what, his first year, first 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay for three years in Detroit, I think. But yeah, ever since he's gotten to New York, it's been a disaster. Hate to see it.
I thought he was going to get a new life in New York. Like,
yeah,
talk
right.
about like a place where you could like go and get some targets and stuff. Nope.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had 2018 and 2019. He had two really good 1,000-yard seasons. He had 11 touchdowns in 2019. Like, even last year, like, he only had 520 yards last year. But, I mean, he still had a decent season. So, I don't know. It's just odd. It's really odd that someone as talented as him coming out of college. Maybe it's just injuries. Like, let's just chalk it up to injuries, or maybe it was just the system trailing a lot. I don't know. But someone that I was really high on him in best balls this year because I really thought there was opportunity for him, and you were getting him, you know, second or third, you know, to last pick. But yeah, did not pan out. We move on because that's what we do. We got Kansas City. We go to the 4 o'clock. These games are fantastic. Sarcasm if you cannot see my face and you're not watching on YouTube. Also, if you're not watching on YouTube, why not come hang out with us? Yeezy just told me what happened in the Jazz game. I guess it was a steal in a bucket with crazy Jordan Poole turnover right at the end of the game. Should have gotten it into Clay and let him shoot some free throws because he did not score 1 point in the fourth quarter, and I missed my prop by a half a point. Thank you, Clay Thompson, for not scoring 1 point in the fourth quarter. Anyway, Kansas City at Denver. This is a football game. It's 43.5 total. Kansas City, 9.5-point favorites. Kansas City can score on anybody, right? Like, at the end of the day, you know, Kansas City can score on anybody. Patrick Mahomes is a generational type of quarterback. Travis Kelce is one of the best tight ends, if not the best tight end that we've ever seen. Gronk, people come at me. I don't care what you have to say. Jimmy Graham, people come at me. Travis Kelce is the best. I know there's some old tight ends too that I'm like, it's driving me crazy now that I'm forgetting, but we've had some really good tight ends over the years. But I mean, what Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have been able to do is second to none, in my opinion. So, and again, I'm going to get a lot of Gronk Brady comments. Bring it on. Let's go to this Kansas City football team here in Denver. Denver, fantastic defense. Fourth in DVOA against the pass, seventh in DVOA overall, 17th against the run. They struggle a little bit against the run, but they are a fantastic pass defense. But Patrick Mahomes does not care if you're a good pass defense or not. Talk to me here about the Chiefs.
Yeah, the game environment does concern me a little bit because you know who can't score against anyone? It's Denver.
Yeah.
So I am concerned about how much Mahomes needs to push this here. And it, like, Denver's a bit of a run funnel. Kansas City, not a team that will generally lean run heavy. Like, they're always pass heavy. But if the easiest path to moving the ball is on the ground, do they go more run heavy than they have? for most of the season. It's possible, I think. And then you're dealing with receivers who, like, this is Patrick Mahomes' worst receiving core he's had in several years, with no Tyreek Hill. So it's Kelce for me. I don't know how much I'm stacking up this game. Like, the Mahomes-Kelce stack is so expensive. I'm not sure that Mahomes has the ceiling in this spot against a great Denver defense. He certainly can win any matchup. It's just like being in Denver, I think they can run the ball better than they have all season. I probably just play Kelce here. I'm not sure if I'm stacking Mahomes. I definitely prefer Hurts. I have to take a look at Pacheco. Like, I don't love playing running backs who don't catch a ton of passes. He at least saw a couple targets last week. But I think at 5,700, Pacheco is in play. Always want exposure to Kelce. The receiver situation, like, I tried Sky Moore last week. I'm not going back to that. He just did not get it done despite Tony and Hardman being out. Even if that's the case again, it's just not looking like it's going to happen for Sky Moore. Valdes-Scantling is just the most frustrating player to roster in the entire league because he'll be streaking down the sideline wide open and he just drops it, or he's open in the end zone and drops it. I don't have a ton of interest in the wide receivers here, which means I'm probably not playing a ton of Patrick Mahomes. So give me Kelce, a little bit of Pacheco. I think McKinnon's in play too. It's just not the right game script for McKinnon. You want him when he's catching a bunch of passes in a high scoring shootout. And I just don't see this game as that. So I think take Pacheco for the touchdown upside, and you always want some Kelce.
Pacheco's still under 6K too. I mean, I don't know if he really hasn't shown like two touchdown upside. I mean, it's really hard to get two touchdown upside in this offense in general. Like, you know, even Hilaire, he had a two touchdown game, but it was through the air, right? Like, he had two touchdowns week one against Arizona, but I think pretty sure both of them were passing touchdowns. So it's really hard to get two rushing touchdowns with the red zone offense that, you know, Kansas City runs in general. You know, that's why Patrick Mahomes is always someone, like, you know, he averages 8 red zone attempts a game, which is just insane if you think about it. I think Kelce would be the play. I think Kansas City defense is in play this week.
Oh, yeah.
My problem is, I'm with you, it's just one of those weeks where you're like, can Denver score? And I mean, it just has not been the case. So Mahomes and Kelce combo always in play. Pacheco, Kansas City combo in play defense. Really interesting week because, I mean, if you would have, like, you probably circled this game preseason and said this is going to be a game. And here we are, week 14, and you have a, like, Denver team that just can't do anything on the offense. The defense is so good. Like, if you're a Denver fan, you're so frustrated because we went out and we got Russell Wilson. We have plenty of pass catchers, and, like, we have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and we can't do anything with it. Going to the Denver side of this game, I don't know what to do. Dulcich, I think, would be my favorite play. I don't think that's saying much. Sutton's doubtful. I mean, that makes Dulcich at 3,400 even more interesting, I think. Because I don't really think I trust, like, Kendall Hinton. Jerry Jeudy is banged up. I mean, this dude has been dealing with an ankle injury. He cannot stay healthy. He's 5,400. If he's a full go, take some shots. Kendall Hinton is 3,400 I'd almost say perfect game script type of game. If Sutton doesn't play and Judy's banged up, the snaps are going to be there for him. And I mean, Brandon Johnson, if Jeudy doesn't play too, is going to get targets. I don't think this is a spot I want to play Latavius Murray, even though I think he has some touchdown equity if they were able to get some red zone attempts here. But yeah, I mean, gosh, Denver's going to be down all game. They're all really cheap. I mean, I know they're going to burn me. I'm sitting here telling you 4 days before this happens that I'm going to get burned here by some Denver plays. I don't think Wilson is someone I end up on. He might be, I don't know, on the fence. He's cost me so much money already this year. I'm like, do I play him just because it's a perfect spot for him to have a big game? And I'm already down so much that what's one more week? I really like Dolchich. What are your thoughts on Denver? I rambled there for a minute, but yeah.
No, you hit on some really key points there. Like the wide receiver room is so beat up that you have to have interest. Like Hinton at 3,400 and Dulcich at 3,400. I think both of those guys are fantastic plays. And I'm saying that knowing that Denver may not score a single offensive touchdown. Like I'm not playing Russell Wilson. I don't think that he's throwing for 300 yards and three touchdowns in this spot. But you do have two extremely cheap wide receivers who have been involved in the offense already, even when Sutton was out there, who are both near minimum price. So Hinton and Dulcich, I think, are very clearly two guys you can play just because of the volume that Denver's going to have to go to here. Like they're going to be trailing in this game more than likely, unless they get an early defensive touchdown and just hand it off to Latavius Murray 30 times. Like even then, Mahomes is just going to find a way to score and take the lead back. So like you're playing the cheap guys for the volume. I think it's Hinton, it's Dulcich. We'll see what other value there is. Like you mentioned Brandon Johnson, Montrell Washington is like a really fast guy. Virgil too, for that matter. Like there's some speed in this Denver receiver core. I don't hate taking shots there and just hoping that Russ gets lucky with a deep ball, but it's Hinton and Dulcich that are very clearly the two top pass catchers. Latavius Murray is interesting. He's been getting the volume. He just has not been efficient at all. Kansas City has a bad run defense. I think Denver at least tries to run the ball for the first half at minimum. So Murray at 5,200, I'm interested there. It's not heavy interest. But he has been involved in the passing game as well when they get behind. So I think Murray's still in play, despite the inefficiency. Like, just the Denver offense is the most inefficient offense in the NFL. So it's one piece at most for me, but I think sprinkling in some Murray with those two pass catchers we talked about is in play too.
Russ Wilson is cheaper than Mike White. He's cheaper than Huntley. Daniel Jones. He's cheaper than Brissett, who's not even playing. He's cheaper than Pickett. He's cheaper than Tannehill. He's cheaper than Sam Darnold. There was ever a week for him just to get 20. Oh, I might do it. The double stack is so cheap. The game script could potentially be perfect.
If Judy's out and you can get Hinton and Dulcich for a combined 6,800.
You get a three-way stack for almost 10K.
Yeah.
A little over 10K.
That's ridiculous.
It combined 12 points. Let's go. All right. We're getting off this game. We got Tampa Bay at San Francisco. 37.5 total. San Francisco, a 3.5 point favorite in this game. Says a lot to the San Francisco defense. Two really good defenses in this game in general. That's why the total is so low here at 37.5. Go to Tampa side first. I mean, this run defense is fantastic. I know Fournette's back. White, they're kind of like splitting carries. It's like a 60-40 situation, it seemed like. But, this is a tough one. Chris Godwin, I mean, the target share is just so insanely high that I think you have to have some, you know, tournament exposure to him. And I kind of think that like Rashad White has earned like a pass catcher role, kind of like Tom Brady, New England days with like James White and Rex Burkhead type of role. Brady has, he's lived on these pass catching running backs, and this guy 8 and 9 targets the last 2 weeks in close football games. This is going to be a good football game. I don't think he's the craziest play. Even behind Fournette and even in like a split running back kind of scenario here at 5,500.
Oh, man. So I agree with your thoughts there. The problem is we haven't seen it. Like, Luch and I did the Monday Night Football showdown, like the pregame show, and we were talking about this situation. It's like Rashad White should run ahead of Leonard Fournette. And then we saw Leonard Fournette on the first drive catch like three passes. And like that was our conversation as well. Like, at minimum, Rashad White has earned the pass catching role. Fournette's kind of struggled to do it throughout his career. White did it very well in college and did it very well while filling in for Leonard Fournette. So I just looked up the target share from last week, 15% for Rashad White, 13.2% for Leonard Fournette. Like, I agree with you that White is the more talented pass catcher, but they're just like, they're going to keep Leonard Fournette involved here. And snaps were almost exactly 60-40, like you said. So Fournette is clearly ahead in this backfield, unfortunately.
I think it was agree. Like, I know what our numbers say, but I remember looking on, I think it was PFF, that I think it was Fournette only played one more snap than White last week, for what it's worth.
Interesting. Did White play special teams or something? And we only have
offensive? Oh, I mean, that could be the case. That could be the case.
I'm not sure.
I remember seeing that it was only one more snap. And I mean, that easily could be the special teams thing, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Just for what it's worth, routes run 32 for Fournette, 21 for Rashad White. Like, Fournette's involved.
Fournette's the play. I mean, the pass catching back seems like the play. Just getting it right, like, kind of like the Elliott Pollard. Like, you're not playing them ever together.
Right.
But getting the guy that scores the one or two touchdowns could be huge. I agree. I mean, they both could end up with 6 to 8 targets piece, and like, you just need the guy that scores. So maybe I put both of them in my player pool. They're both under 6K. And I mean, running back this week, it's not the best. It really isn't. Like, there's not a ton of like, oh, this guy's in a fantastic spot. Like, outside of like Dalvin Cook and, you know, the Dallas running back situation, but I mean, that's a split backfield as well. Right. So we're going to talk about Christian McCaffrey on the other side of this game. But like, we're going to Carolina and Seattle. That situation isn't the best like running back situation. So maybe I'm taking shots on making a group of 0-1 and making sure I don't play them together. But maybe I'm taking a shot on Fournette or White here.
Yeah, I don't hate the call at all. I think they're both in play, to be honest. Like, it's a tough matchup against San Francisco. And they'll probably try to run the ball a little bit at the beginning of the game. But Tampa Bay is a team that's certainly not afraid to turn pass heavy. And if either one of these guys ends up catching 6 or 7 balls and scoring a touchdown, that production at 5,500 or 5,600 is very useful. So I don't disagree with you at all that they're in play. It's a difficult situation to figure out. And it's a frustrating situation because I think all of the fantasy football world wants Rashad White to happen. But the unfortunate reality is that Leonard Fournette is still very much involved. That said, your point about their pricing, there's no like smash 6K running backs. The Dallas guys are both in play, but that's also a split. They're like, we've had weeks where there are 6K running backs you just want to jam in as much as possible. That's not the case this week. These guys are under 6K. They're both in play. I agree with you. And I love the Godwin call as well. Dude's just had an awesome target share ever since returning from the injury, 13 targets in back-to-back weeks. Like, he can get there on the volume alone. If he finds the end zone, he's a smash at 6,700. Mike Evans is cheap. It's a tough matchup for him. You need him to find the end zone to get there. He's probably not going to do it on volume. I don't hate some shots there. But I don't know that I'll be playing Brady Stacks. I like Godwin for the volume, and I'm interested in the running backs because of the price. The other thing, is Cameron Brate off the injury report completely? Yeah, it looks like it. Yep.
Yeah. He's not on the injury report.
Because Otten like smashed Otten, without Brate. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Otten, yeah. I don't know. That situation, I think week 12 was like 50-50. Cam Brate just can't stay healthy. I mean, Otten, we want it to be a thing, but again, so really quick, I just wanted to say, like, with as good as San Francisco is at stopping the run, I mean, they allow 75 rushing yards per game this season, which is the fewest in the NFL. Like, Brady is going to need to throw in this game. So, like, Godwin, Evans, these running backs that can catch the ball, like, they're in play. Yeah. San Francisco is going to score some points. I don't know how much, like, I feel as confident with, like, Purdy playing quarterback here. But, I mean, Miami's defense is not great. Purdy looked really good last week. He had one really bad missed throw to turn it into a pick, but and he played decent. The thing is, he just has so much talent around him that San Francisco is going to score. McCaffrey, Samuel, Ayuk, Kittle. I mean, there's just so much talent around Purdy that they're going to score. So let's talk about San Francisco. I mean, got everything we wanted from Christian McCaffrey last week. He was a highlight for me on the podcast last week. 10 targets, and I don't expect it to be any different this week. I love Christian McCaffrey again. I have him ranked as one of my highest running back plays this week. This is the Carolina type of role that we want from Christian McCaffrey, and we said it. We talked about it a ton last week on the podcast with Mitchell on the IR. We're going to get that role. He played 84% of the snaps. He was involved heavily in the offense, and it did not matter that Jimmy G got hurt. And I wish for a speedy recovery for Jimmy G. But, I mean, this is now Christian McCaffrey's team. Debo's still here. Debo is 6,100. He's way too cheap. But this is now Christian McCaffrey's team.
Yeah, the backfield, and like they were going to use Eli Mitchell as long as he was out there, like getting him absolutely. And they still mixed Jordan Mason in a little bit last week, but you touched like the Bucs defense is amazing. Running the football is not going to be their path to success. It's going to be McCaffrey out of the backfield, easy checkdowns for Purdy, and it's going to be like screen type passes to Samuel and Ayuk and Kittle. Like that's the whole basis of the San Francisco offense is around those short passes, and then they have these amazing run after catch guys in Samuel, Ayuk, and Kittle. Like that doesn't change. It's not a difficult throw to make. Purdy showed last week that he can make all of those throws. I don't think the offense really loses much going from Jimmy G to Purdy, to be honest, just because of the way that they run their offense. Like maybe you lose some big play equity. Like I think Purdy's throwing many 40-yard touchdown passes in the air, but could he throw a 2-yard screen pass to Debo Samuel that he takes 40 yards to the house? Absolutely. That's just kind of how their offense works. So agree. I'm Tampa Bay, a very good defense, but San Francisco can still put up points in this spot, even with their third string quarterback.
All right. We finish it out with Carolina at Seattle. 43.5 total. Seattle, a 4-point favorite in this game. Haven't seen who's going to start for Carolina yet at quarterback. I mean, there was a report that PJ Walker is going to suit up.
I know who it's not. it's not Baker Mayfield.
Oh, no, it's not. So it sounds like everything that I'm pointing that I've read is Walker is going to be suited up. Darnold's still going to get the start. So I don't know what that necessarily means for DFS purposes, but yeah, I mean, looking at this, one of the biggest news, like things that we're going to be watching this week is like, is Foreman going to play? Because if Foreman's out, Hubbard becomes a fantastic play. Seattle struggles against the run. They allow the second most rushing yards per game. And yeah, I mean, if Foreman's out, I'm loading up on Hubbard. We don't have a ton of cheap options at running back. At 4,800, if he scores a touchdown, gets 80-plus yards, he would be in a great spot. So I have interest in DJ Moore, a little bit of interest in Sam Darnold. I think this is going to be the highest-scoring game of these 4 o'clock games. I think it's two mediocre defenses dealing with some defensive injuries. So I want to see who's in. If Foreman plays, I have interest in Foreman, even with, giving Hubbard some carries as well. I think Foreman's going to get first crack at a bad run defense, and he could go for a big game here.
Yeah, I think Foreman plays here. He played before the bye. They're coming off of their bye. So unless he got really banged up in practice over the bye week, that's really the only way I could see him missing. I don't know exactly why he needs to rest on a Wednesday coming off of a bye, but I don't know. Keep an eye on it. I agree. Foreman's in play.
I think he plays too.
Yeah, I think he's playing here, but definitely something to monitor. Agree with the Hubbard take. Like anybody that has against it, even 60% of the touches in the backfield at 4,800 would certainly be in play. And this is a great matchup. So if Foreman is out there though, 5,400, I think a very fair price for him. Like you're concerned about the game script here, but I don't see Seattle separating ultra quickly. Like Carolina should be able to keep it competitive. He's had huge workloads in the past couple of weeks before the bye. So I like Foreman at 5,400. DJ Moore, a guy who super talented, quarterback play has been very iffy. Sam Darnold, I think, can get him the ball. 5,500, a fair price. I'm okay with DJ Moore. Probably not going anywhere else on this Carolina offense. The receivers room, just they're cheap, but there's not a ton of talent there. So yeah, Foreman if he plays, Hubbard if he doesn't, and a little bit of DJ Moore. That's about it.
I mean, you know, we have to think back. You know, we didn't see Carolina last week, but week 12, I mean, they beat Denver 23-10, and Moore had a big play. I trust Darnold more than I trust Baker Mayfield and Walker to get DJ Moore the ball, and he's 5,500. Like, way too much talent at 5,500 against a mediocre at best Seattle defense. So I like, he is going to be someone that you're going to see in the morning grind game in one of the questions this week. So I like DJ Moore a lot. Seattle side of this game, I mean, this is an interesting spot because the running back situation coming into this week, we really have no clue who's going to play running back. Walker, I think, is probably on the bad side of questionable. Who knows about Homer? And I think Dallas is on the bad side of questionable. There's a good chance that, like, Tony Jones suits up and is the guy this week. Interesting, right? Because Carolina, they're not the best run defense. They're not the best pass defense. So maybe this is a week that Geno just kind of flies under the radar. He's been playing absolutely fantastic. Multiple passing touchdowns in six straight games. We keep talking about him. We've talked about him all year. We're not going to stop talking about him. The problem is just trying to figure out, like, if it's Metcalf or Lockett. I always prefer Metcalf, but, I mean, both of these guys are very much in play. Geno, he's definitely going to be on my list this week.
Yeah, I have interest in Seattle for sure. The Ken Walker injury last week was part of why it was such a rough week for me. I loaded up on him, thought that Rams defense without Aaron Donald, he could exploit that. Just love what we've seen from Ken Walker so far this season. If he's out there, I'd go right back to him. Even like 6,800 price tags coming up. Carolina, not a run defense I'm afraid of. Probably not playing, like you said. And then I don't trust any of the other backs. Tony Jones, we've seen him. I think he was with the Saints when Kamara missed, and he was super chalk last year, one of the weeks, and just put up a complete dud. I believe Dwayne Washington ran ahead of him in that game. Like, so there's no way I can trust Tony Jones. I know 4,800 is super cheap, but I don't know. Even Homer and Dallas, like, they prefer them in the passing game more than, like, I think DJ Dallas is the guy that would get the early down work if he's active. It's a tough situation. We got to see how the injury report shakes out, but if Dallas is active, I have a little interest there. I don't know if I'm playing Homer or Jones. Like, Homer, it could be useful to catch some passes. Just, I don't know that they're trailing in the, I like Seattle in this game, no matter who's playing running back. So probably avoiding it if Walker is out. Maybe some shares of DJ Dallas, but I agree. Like Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, TJ Lockett. I think you can even take a look at Noah Fant, especially if Disley is out. Noah Fant has been seeing like 3, 4, 5 targets weekly for several weeks now. He's 3,100, definitely in play. But Metcalf and Lockett, definitely the story here. That's where I'm going, the majority of my exposure to Seattle.
Yeah, I like the passing game for sure. I mean, Geno like might be like a fifth or sixth ranked quarterback this week, maybe even higher. Like,
yeah,
it's an interesting spot. Made fun of these 4 o'clock games and found some love here in this last one. So let's play the morning grind game and then we get out of here again. The good old fashioned. Don't have projected ownership yet on a Wednesday night, so it makes the game a little bit more different. My English is fantastic today. Quarterback to throw for 300 plus yards. Who do you got?
He got it done last week, and he has had a surprisingly good season. Jared Goff against this terrible to pass defense. Another great spot for him in the dome. Love it for him this week.
You're going to come over to the dark side. I'm telling you, main team might have Jared Goff this week. Let's do it. I struggled with this one this week. I'm going to stick with my initial thought and go Kirk Cousins in that same game. Throws for 300 plus yards. My biggest concern with Cousins is Dalvin Cook just has a monster game. That's why I don't have him ranked as high this week. But I'm still going to have plenty of exposure to Kirk Cousins this week because, I mean, I love Jefferson and I love that game in general. Low-owned running back for a touchdown. Again, we don't have ownership, so it's tough to do this one. What do you like here?
We talked about the split backfield in Dallas. I think everyone would much rather play Tony Pollard. I think Ezekiel Elliott kind of goes under the radar in a phenomenal matchup here. You think that's low enough owned?
On a Wednesday night, it is. I could see him picking up a lot of ownership throughout the week.
I guarantee you on FanDuel, he'll be under 10%.
Yeah, that price is just is crazy. I don't know. I don't know. It's so hard without ownership. It's so hard without ownership. Give me. Gosh, he's going to be popular. And all the good plays are just going to be popular this week. Running back is so. Do you think Pacheco is going to be chalky? He'll be under 10%. Give me him.
Yep, I agree. He'll be under 10.
Give me a quarterback wide receiver combo for a touchdown.
We love this Minnesota Detroit game. You took him for 300 yards. I'm taking Cousins to Jefferson as a phenomenal stack this week.
Yep, I like that one a lot. Sam Darnold to DJ Moore. I told you that you're going to see him in this. I'm going a little off the board this week and going Sam Darnold to DJ Moore. I wrote it down. And when I wrote it down, I was like, Keith is going to laugh at me. And then,
well, I thought for sure when you said that, I thought for sure it was DJ Moore for 8 targets, which I'm totally on board with that. I didn't know you were going some Sam Darnold too.
I'm going, let's get it. Right. People are going to pull up CVRs this week and be like, why is Darnold on Stevie's rankings? And then at the end of the week, everyone's going to be like, oh, all right, I see you. Anyway, number 4 question, wide receiver for 8 plus targets. Who do you got this week?
I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown has just been a lock every single week. Easiest way to attack Minnesota is through the air. He's going to get them again this week.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I feel like he's been the answer to this question so many times this year in this game.
Yep.
And he's crushed all year. I'm going Amari Cooper. I was on the fence last week with Watson coming back, but to see who's going to be kind of the guy. Cooper had 9 targets. That's 3 straight weeks with at least 9 targets. I think Watson's going to look at Cooper here, and I like him to get some targets in this one.
I love that. I think that's a sneaky game. We'll see where ownership shakes out as we get towards the end of the week, but right now that seems like it's going to go under the radar a little bit. I love that game.
If Watson can show up, that game has so much potential. And I think with a game under his belt, we know the talent is there. The talent, he has talent around him. I mean, that game has a ton of potential. Tight end for a touchdown. Who do you got scoring a touchdown this week?
It's Greg Dulcich. We talked about the Denver wide receiver room being so banged up. Target share has been there. Touchdowns have not. I think he finds the end zone this week.
You took my guy. I'll go with Jordan Akins then.
I love that one too.
He's the other tight end that I had written down as like a cheaper tight end. So give me Akins. Try to stay away from... I think TJ Hockenson is the best tight end play on the slate by a large margin this week. Like if you're not getting up to Kelsey. Kelsey's always the number one guy.
Is he as vengeful as AJ Brown? Let's hope so.
What's that?
Is he as vengeful as AJ Brown was last week? Let's hope so. He's got the revenge narrative.
I think he's happy.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you so much. All right. Number 6, we got defense. Defense to score 10 plus points.
I think the Ravens are playing without their quarterback this week. They get a matchup against a rookie QB, and they need the defense to step up. I think they'll be able to do it.
Love this call. I love this call. You mean Baltimore's defense, right?
Yes, Baltimore's D. Yep.
I don't love that call.
I like the
I'm
other
going
side
Pittsburgh.
Too.
Pittsburgh's defense. I love this one. I was like, gosh, he took another one, my answers. I love the Pittsburgh defense this week. They are 2,800. They have all the ability of the world. The weather might not be the best. This is going to be a low-scoring, slow-paced game. Give me the Pittsburgh defense. I do like the Baltimore defense as well at 3,300. I'm just taking the 500. If you want to pay up, I mean, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Eagles. I mean, all of these defenses are really strong at the top this week. But I think spending down to one of these cheaper defenses. I mean, we all like to save money on defense. It's like paying down at catcher. We like to pay down at defense.
Yeah, Pittsburgh as the cheap defense is absolutely locked. Whichever team ends up behind in this game, the defense for the team leading, I think, like, I don't think either one really wants to throw all that much in this spot. But whoever's forced into throwing a lot, the other defense is going to eat for sure.
Favorite money line against the spread. Anything standing out to you here this week?
I'd like Seattle at home, -3.5 against Carolina. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I think it's going to be Darnold. You were on Carolina a little more than I expect you to be, but
I like the Seattle side just as much as you do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Geno Smith has played phenomenal this year. Maybe they don't have their stud running back, but I think Geno Smith can take care of the ball enough. They get the job done here at home against Carolina, -3.5.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I'm going to stick with what I originally had written down. I'm going to take Minnesota +2.5. I think that Minnesota is the better team. I know Detroit's been playing good, and we love this game in general. Minnesota's a really good football team. There's so much talent. Detroit defense is really not this good. They're playing good. They're really not this good. So give me Minnesota Vikings this week.
I like that one a ton. Agree that Detroit's defense been playing a little over their head. Minnesota's the better team here. I cannot believe that Detroit is favored.
Yeezy posted in chat. He likes Eagles -7. There's a few books, just for what it's worth, that has Eagles -6.5. So get that extra half point. Favorite over under this week.
Yeah, I'm going to the Minnesota Detroit game here. Like, this is a great game environment. Over 52.5. It's These are the games you can get that just soar over. And Detroit's been a part of four or five of them this season already. So in the dome, absolutely love the over here.
I'm going to go to the under. I hate team under, but 36.5 in this Pittsburgh game. This total is insanely low. I don't think Lamar Jackson plays in this game. I think this is going to be an extremely low scoring game. Two solid defenses. Yeah, give me the under in the Pittsburgh Baltimore game at minus or under 36.5. The other one that, for what it's worth, the other one that I like this week, if you want to go back to team overs, Cleveland and Cincinnati over 47.5. So, player props, there's not a ton. I'm struggling, sleeper doesn't really have anything out. So we're going to skip that question again, get in the Roto Grinders squad over there on sleeper, and I'll post something later this week. Is there any NFL player props that you saw that you like here?
There are some I like. I'm not like super sold on any of them yet. I want to do a little bit more digging, but a couple numbers did jump out. Latavius Murray, 48.5 rushing yards. Like, it's Kansas City. They don't have a great run defense. There's no efficiency at all on this Denver offense, but I feel like he can get to 48.5 rushing yards. I like Murray's over. And then Deontay Foreman was the other one. He's at 55.5 rushing yards. The Seattle run defense isn't very good. He's had a really nice workload. As long as he's healthy, I think Foreman should get over 55.5 as well. Don't love either of them, but leaning towards playing both.
Yeah. I mean, my, the one that I absolutely love that I primed up already on scores and odds is, I love TJ Hockenson over 48.5 receiving yards. I think that line is way too low. We have him currently on the Roto-Grinders projections projected for 55 receiving yards in this game. He hasn't hit this number. I mean, if you're a box score person, you're like, oh, this number is too high. So I'm jumping on this one early in the week. I think that this line is too low, even though he really hasn't had like that game yet. Minnesota is terrible against the pass. Absolutely love this line for Hockenson. It was one that stood out to me. That was really it. I was hoping that we were going to get like Dolchich at a lower line. It came in at like 40.5. I still don't mind the over on that one as well. There's a lot more lines out than I thought than there was before we recorded the podcast. So, I mean, just kind of looking really quick to see if anything else stands out to me. Dalvin Cook, 75.5 rushing yards, probably pretty close. Yeah, I mean, nothing like jumping off the page to me. Jalen Hurts, 47.5. If you think that game's going to be close, someone 47.5. He's someone that can break off some big runs. But yeah, so. But my official answer is Hockenson over his receiving prop at, what did I say it was? 48.5, I think.
48.
Yeah, 48.5. So, Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I don't think I have anything else. Hopefully we stick to, I think we covered the slate well and we had some great thoughts. Hopefully we don't change too much by Sunday.
I don't think there's as much injury news this week. Condensed slate, really, because, I mean, there's two games that I think you could easily cross off on this slate. So if that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game goes bonkers, I am just going to lose. I'm going to be playing a lot of defense in that game, so I'll have some running backs. But if that game goes off, I'm just going to lose. But that is going to wrap it up here for week 14. 10-game NFL slate. Appreciate everyone hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow. Keith's actually back tomorrow talking some basketball. Only 3 games on the Thursday slate, so check out Crunch Time. We will see you all next week for football on Thursday nights, and we'll see you tomorrow for basketball. Good luck, everyone. See you then.